and the full moon of the month of Kartik. Which is celebrated either last night or tonight. We begin what is considered by many great devotees of the Lord the most auspicious month of the year. It is called the month of Kartik, or sometimes it is called the month of Damodar. In this particular month, it is especially recommended that one meditates on the beautiful childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Damodar specifically refers to Lord Sri Krishna in his beautiful form as a tiny baby, Yashoda Nandana, the darling of Mother Yashoda. In his Baal form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes and the master of all universes. In the Bible and in the Quran, the scriptures of the West, it has a very, very powerful and uncompromising description of God. In the book of Genesis, there is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know that story? Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities, and people in these two cities were very much sinful. So sinful. Especially, they were addicted to very, very unrestricted illicit sex relationships with one another. And God, who was very angry with them, he warned them that if you do not give up your sinful ways, with a thunderous voice he spoke, then you will all be destroyed. Of course, they did not give up their sinful ways. So the Lord showered the whole city with fire and brimstone, completely destroyed all the homes, burned the city, and the entire population was massacred. And throughout the Old Testament, this is usually the way God appears. He is very famous for his thunderbolts and his uncompromising orders, either obey or burn. Similarly, in the Quran, the Almighty Allah, although he is all merciful, he is very uncompromising. If you don't follow the law of the Quran, it describes, then the all-powerful Allah will cast you into hell to gnash your teeth in pain for the rest of eternity. So most of the world, this is the conception of God. A very, very strong-willed father. Uncompromising. Ready to punish his children in the most treacherous ways if they do not obey his command. And in truth, this is one aspect of God, the absolute truth. For those who are very sinful, very disobedient, sometimes God has to appear like this. Just like a father, if he has a son or a daughter who is always creating very much mischief, always acting against the will of the Father, and thus creating a situation where he will have to suffer tremendous consequences, in order to train that son, the father, the only way he could deal with that son is with a rod, with a stick. You do this, or I will punish you. If you don't do this, I will punish you. How else can you deal with such a disobedient son? But for a child who really wants to please the father, who's always obedient to what the father says, the father doesn't give that son any orders. You must do this, you must not do that. The child already understands what the father wants. So therefore, to such a son, father simply, the most intimate, loving moments of his life, he shares with the son. Whatever he likes to do the best, he knows the son wants to do that. So he shares those moments with his life. In this way, there is no chastisement. There is only loving relationship. So therefore, although God does have this very, very cruel, uncompromising fatherly form, for his devotees who approach him with love, he appears in a most sweet and loving, reciprocal way. Mother Yashoda, she had such love for Krishna that Krishna appeared to her as a little baby. That Almighty Allah, who is casting most of the worlds in hell, that Almighty Yahweh, God, the Creator, the Almighty, who is throwing thunderbolts, fires, and brimstones to destroy whole cities and whole societies, casting plagues and curses, that same Lord to Mother Yashoda appeared as a helpless little baby. Huh? He was crawling around the courtyard. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were thinking, if I do not protect my little baby Gopal, he may get hurt. Huh? There is a story of when a great powerful demon named Trinavarta came to Vrindavan, sent by Kamsa. He took Krishna high into the sky in order to kill him. And Mother Yashoda, when Krishna was gone, there was so much dust in the air, she did not know where he was. She was so afraid. Her whole life was only for protecting Krishna. She was thinking, what will happen? Where is my Gopal? Where has he gone? That little tiny baby, this powerful asura, more powerful than 10,000 elephants. He felt this little child, only this big, assume the weight of a mountain. He did not grow. He was only the size of an infant. But that infant size assumed the weight of one of the peaks of the Himalayan mountains. And Trinavarta just crashed to the ground due to the weight and died. And Mother Yashoda, when she saw like this, that Krishna is laying on this big asura, this big demon, she was thinking, no, my son, he could not have done this killing of this demon. Somehow or other, I must have performed some pious activities in the past, and therefore, God has saved my son from this horrible creature. And then she began to chant many different mantras for his safety and protection in the future. She was thinking, if I do not feed Krishna, he will die. In fact, Krishna, he obtained the name Damodar, which literally means one who is bound by the waist by a rope. Because when Krishna would do mischief and stealing butter and playing with monkeys, Mother Yashoda was thinking, he may get hurt. I have so many duties to perform. There is no one to watch him. So let me tie him with the rope to to keep him in one place for his safety. Now, who can bind God? The greatest jnanis, with all their knowledge of the Vedas, they can never bind the Supreme Lord. The greatest yogis, by performing lifetimes of tapasya in caves of the jungles, and attaining great mystic powers, they can never capture God. God is infinite and unlimited and independent in all circumstances. But Mother Yashoda, by her simple and pure motherly love, she was able to bind Krishna and capture him. So you see, when we approach the Lord with bhakti, with love, he becomes, by his own free will, subordinate to that bhakti. Some of the impersonalist philosophers, they declare that if you perform this process of meditation by the program of pranayama, asana, dhyan, you can become God. How can you become God? Either you're God or you're not God. It's not a question of becoming God. God does not become God. God is eternally and always God. God never forgets that he's God. He is supreme. He is all-knowing in all circumstances. So you can never become God. But you can become better than God. Because through the process of bhakti, even God becomes subordinate to that love. Mother Yashoda, she would tell Krishna, Nanda Maharaj is coming home, bring his sandals. And Krishna, little child, would take the sandals of Nanda Maharaj and put it on his head and run to the door. My dear father, here is your shoes. Such a humble position, taking the feet of his devotees on his head. In the Bhagavatam, it is described that Markandeya Rishi, when he was in the ocean of devastation, he saw a most amazing sight. He saw a banyan tree leaf floating in that ocean. And on that banyan tree leaf was this beautiful form of baby Krishna. And his toes were in his mouth. Markandeya Rishi was very surprised to see like this, what is toes in his mouth? Supreme Bhagavan, the creator of everything, the master of all the creation. He's in the form of a baby with his feet in his mouth. Usually big men, they like to always portray themselves as being very big. So Krishna explained that my devotees, they are always anxious to taste the dust from my feet. And I consider my devotees so great, I consider them greater than me. And all their greatness is because of their determination to taste the dust from my feet. So I wanted to see, what is it that makes these devotees so great? What is it about the dust from my feet that makes the devotees better than me? So of course, as the Supreme God, it doesn't look right to put his feet in his mouth to taste. So therefore he took form of little baby. Because babies always, right? You were just a baby recently. You know how it is. You do everything, nobody cares. You put feet in mouth. So Krishna was like that. Just to taste the dust of his feet without being in an embarrassing adult position, he became baby. Because Krishna knows that his devotees' love is so powerful that it is more powerful than God himself. Mother Yashoda, her motherly affection, was able to bind Krishna with a rope. Of course, Krishna could have gotten away from that rope. But he never wanted to get away from that rope. Out of love, his heart melted. And he could not resist the love of his devotee. when Durvas Muni insulted Ambarish Maharaj. He began to travel all over the universe, trying to escape from the Sudarshan Chakra. You all know that story, I am sure. Durvas Muni was the greatest mystic in the whole universe. He was so powerful, he had all 8 mystic siddhis. When he was angry, simply from a hair on his head that he dashed to the ground, he created a demon of fire that could have destroyed the whole earth. That was his power. Ambarish Maharaj had no mystic powers. He was only a humble devotee. But because of his humble devotion, all the power of God was behind him. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra came and destroyed that fiery demon and then went after Durvas Muni. And Durvas Muni was running everywhere. He went to Indra Loka, to Surya Loka, to Brahma Loka, to Shiva Loka. They all told him, if the Sudarshan Chakra of Narayan is coming toward you, then please go away. We cannot help you. Only Narayan can help you. And then he approached the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha. Please, I surrender to you. Please take this weapon away. It is causing me great pain. And Narayan told him, if you have offended my devotee, I have no power to withdraw this weapon. Although I am the master of the whole creation, I am Sarveshwareshwara. I am the controller of all controllers who think that they're controllers. Everyone in this world wants to be a controller. And even if you're a controller, there's someone who wants to control you. Huh? And even if you're the greatest controller, this material energy is controlling you and forcing you to grow old, get diseased, and die. In the form of time, we are all under control. But Krishna is the controller even of time. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyase sacharacharam. He is the controller of this entire material creation. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. All material and spiritual worlds are under control of God, Krishna. But yet Krishna described to Durvas Muni that I am under the control of the love of my devotees by my own sweet will. Therefore, there is no greater power than bhakti or devotion. Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvata. It is only by devotion that I can be conquered. It is only by devotion that I can be understood in truth as I am. Therefore, there is no greater attainment in life than the awakening of bhakti from within our heart. In all situations, we should have this conviction. However wealthy I become, however influential I become, however powerful I become, whatever good connections I can make in this world, however famous or beautiful I am under the control of time. I am under the control of material nature. And by this force, I will have to suffer. Within our congregation of devotees, we have many, many doctors. Just like our Abhimanyu here, he is a very good doctor. So you may be sick, and you may go up to the best of doctors. We have another specialist in leprosy here, very famous man. He has joined us this evening. And you can go to them, and you can heal your disease. But a few days later, a few weeks, maybe a few weeks, or at the most a few years, you will still have to succumb to old age, disease, and death. You may be in danger, and you may have the whole army of India behind you to protect you. But with all their missiles, and all their infantrymen, and all their airplanes, and all their warships, they cannot protect you from old age, disease, and death. Huh? We are under control. What do we have to be proud of? Only a fool is proud when he's in a position where he's being completely controlled by the force of time. Actually, real knowledge means to have the conviction that I am in a helpless condition in this world. And only the infinite power of God can save me. And how to acquire that connection with the infinite power of God? Simply through devotion. Through love. The infinite power of God becomes subordinate to the love that is present right today within your heart. And that is a fact. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriya Yodoi. Love of God is within the heart of everyone. It simply must be awakened. And there is no greater goal to achieve in life than the awakening of that love of God. And there is nothing that we should put before us in our life than the awakening of that love of God. The greatest misfortune, according to the Vishnu Purana, is to put any other duty or goal in life in front of that. Because without that, our whole life culminates in futility. But with that, whatever we do has eternal value. You see, spiritual life does not mean to become impractical in this world. It means to become most practical in this world. To build a foundation of spiritual values, and then to build upon that foundation, to build a life that will not only benefit yourself, but all your loved ones and the world. So we must establish bhakti as the basic principle of our existence. Know that sharing of this bhakti with our loved ones is the only real expression of love we can offer them. Everything else is a superficial expression of love, a temporary sentiment. So in this month of Damodar, which is considered the holiest month of the year by many, it is a month where every day, at least three times, we should meditate upon the beautiful childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna. How that almighty God of the universe becomes like a little baby under the influence of the love of his devotee. Huh? And how to awaken that love within our own heart so that we can reciprocate with God in this most intimate and sweet and pleasing of all forms. It is possible in this life by always remembering him. And how to remember him? By hearing about him, by associating with those who are anxious to hear about him, and by chanting his holy name. There is no greater, there is no more simple process of God realization than Harinam Kirtan. This evening when we were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and various other beautiful songs describing the form, the qualities, and the Leela of the Lord, our minds are being purified by the presence of God in the form of His name. And through this process, that natural love which is within us, the natural quality which is the essence of our own existence, bhakti, it is awakened and revealed from the core of our heart. You see, prema, love, is like the shining sun. The sun is the very nourishing force which maintains this entire universe. Can anything exist without the sun? So the sun of pure love of God is what maintains and nourishes our spiritual existence. And it is within our heart. But at present, it is covered by the dark cloud of ignorance, the dark cloud of forgetfulness. And our tendency is to create a life for ourselves where moment after moment after moment we perpetuate this disease of forgetfulness. And our activities in this world are simply to make that cloud darker and higher and wider and more that beautiful sun of love within us is obscured. Obscured from our own vision and obscured from the vision of the world. Huh? Most people, their whole life is simply like this, even in the name of piety. To simply build that cloud bigger, thicker, deeper, and darker. But when we take seriously sadhu satsang and harinam, the association of sadhus and the chanting of the name of God, this process dissipates the cloud, utterly dissolves it. And as it dissolves, gradually the light of that sun of our soul begins to shine. And it lights up our life. It illuminates our life. And it will illuminate the hearts of all we come in contact with real joy and peace. So in this holy month of Damodara, the month of Kartik, let us meditate on the beautiful childhood form of Krishna. And let the meditation on this beautiful form remind us of the real goal of life. Makanchor. When Krishna was a baby, he liked to steal the butter. When our heart becomes soft like butter, Krishna will also steal our heart. And when Krishna steals our heart, it will no longer be the property of the temporary attachments of this world. It will be his property. He will steal it and he will enjoy it. And in being enjoyed by Krishna, we will experience the ultimate bliss. Ah. So let us make our hearts very soft by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And thus let us invite this beautiful child, Gopal, to steal our hearts and to enjoy to his heart's content our very life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.